Diamond stud earrings for Christmas, and time is running off the clock. Also, don't forget to clean the litter box. You made an agreement, and besides, it's not even her cat.
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
The top Republican leader in the House wants Congress to keep working on a new agreement on extending the payroll tax cuts and unemployment assistance. Correspondent David Malundi has the details.
House Speaker John Boehner says he opposes the Senate-approved bill because it extends a payroll tax break and jobless benefits for just 2 months.
How can you do tax policy for 2 months?
The Ohio Republican said on NBC's Meet the Press the Senate measure is more of the same.
It's just the usual, let's just punt. Kick the can down the road. We'll come back and do it later.
Boehner believes congressional bargainers should write a new measure for an entire year.
We can find common ground.
House Republicans say the Senate bill lacks serious spending cuts that are in the House-passed measure. Boehner says he agrees with President Obama that Congress should not go home for the holidays until it finishes its work.
We've got 2 weeks to get this done. Let's do it the right way.
A pretrial hearing resumes today in Maryland in a WikiLeaks case involving a homosexual soldier facing possible court-martial on 22 counts, including aiding the enemy. With more on that story, here's correspondent Sophia Manos.
Lawyers representing a 24-year-old Army intelligence specialist say his struggles with being a gay soldier influenced his actions that led to the publication of material by the online anti-secrecy group WikiLeaks. Bradley Manning is accused of leaking U.S. military and diplomatic secrets. Prosecutors are trying to build their case by calling witnesses connecting Manning to the publication of the materials, which include Iraq and Afghanistan war logs.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EB's sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic variety.
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I am Dr. Peter Spiegel. We have a great show in store for you today. Later in the hour, we will be meeting with Dr. Luke Hunter from the group Panthera. He has a great new book out called Carnivores of the World, which we have really been enjoying paging through around the office and house. Luke happens to be one of the world's big cat experts, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with him. But first, we're really pleased to be welcoming Fred O'Regan. He's the president and CEO of International Fund for Animal Welfare. I hope that's correct. It was founded in 1969, and its mission is to improve the welfare of wild and domestic animals throughout the world by reducing commercial exploitation of animals, protecting wildlife habitats, and assisting animals in distress. They seek to motivate the public to prevent cruelty to animals and to promote animal welfare and conservation policies that advance the well-being of both animals and people. And they began in reaction to the cruelty of the Canadian seal hunt, and they've been a leader toward ending commercial seal hunting and commerce. I hope to delve into that shortly. Fred has many responsibilities, including leading teams which protect whales and elephants, and which fight illegal trade in wildlife. And recently he testified before Congress on the negative impacts of shark finning. Welcome to the show, Fred.
Thank you. I appreciate having you.
Oh, great. You know, it's been a real pleasure learning about the important work that you do with IFAR. Is that okay if I say IFAR? Is that accepted?
IFAR is perfect. Yep, sure.
Okay, that will save me tripping over that. Anyway... the great work you have done and continue to do for animals. So I thought we'd discuss a few of the big IFAR achievements of the year.
Sure.
Beginning with the repopulation of Manas National Park. If you can please explain the situation in this northern Indian preserve.
Sure. Well, Manas National Park is one of the more important reserves in Asia. It's home to about 21 types of species that are listed as endangered, critically endangered, by CITES, the body that represents us. That includes tigers, Asian elephants, one-horned rhinos, golden langurs, golden cats, hispid hares, swamp deer, gore, and clouded leopards. So it's a very, very important thing. And during the 80s and 90s, there was ethnic strife, which broke out into actually battles. And in the process, this went on for a decade, and it was devastating to the herd. So we then joined hands with the World Wildlife Trust of India, and we helped restore and provide security to that national park. Another but a fascinating part of this work has been actually the hand-raising of elephant calves who are orphaned. We've had elephants and rhino, and what was normally seen is that there was a strong feeling historically that you could not take these kind of animals, especially that had group contacts and group families, and rehabilitate them and put them back into the wild. We have shown that that's simply not true, and this is pioneering work that we've returned we've returned 6 rhinos and 11 elephants into Manas quite successfully. So that's been a real show. The park population has been climbing. Security is better, and it's now a World Heritage Site, meaning that it's by UNESCO. It's one of the more important sites in the world. So we're very, very proud of the work we've done there and with our partnership with Wildlife Trust of India.
That's fabulous. Mm-hmm. How exactly do juvenile elephants, when you release them, what happens to them? Do they find another group?
Well, they're not actually that juvenile. I mean, they're 2 to 3 years old by the time they go back. So they're not just calves. They're not suckling. What happens is a mother herd, they find a way, and they get grouped in, some almost like an adoption. You know, the same thing in Africa with rehabilitated elephants. They will form, they'll become part of the group, and they'll become the sort of an orphan that's sort of taken care of. And it just shows the amazing intelligence and the complex social structure of elephants. They're extraordinary animals. Yes. We've also found in strandings, for example, I think you want to get into that in a few minutes, but similarly, we found that it was thought impossible for, like, dolphins and other cetaceans who are in pods to be released after a stranding or rehabilitation. And we put markers on them to satellite tracking and found out that was not true, that they had, just like elephants, they found themselves a herd, a pod, and they became part of it. So it's amazingly complex. Very complex. Excuse me. We're very proud of the work we've done, both marine mammals and with elephants.
No, that's sure. Fabulous. And now there continues to be a conflict between people and some of these animals in India. We've seen videos of the devastation an elephant can do to a family's field in just a few minutes. That continues to be an issue that you're trying to work on.
We are. It's worldwide. I think some of the big it's really endangering. The great animals. It's really human population growth and commercial trade are two of the biggest single threats that they have. What happens is that elephants, for example, go to certain sites every year. The mother herd, the mother takes them, knows where to go. This is happening for thousands of years. They have migratory patterns that bring them to good food and water certain parts of the year. What happens is that they're just going like they always have, and then in the meantime, people move right into their path. And all of a sudden, they become a problem elephant. All they're trying to do is get to where they want to go, and it does become a problem. So one of the things we're doing, for example, in East Africa, we, working with Kenya Wildlife Service, we have collared a sampling of elephants to find out where exactly do they go, so that you can track them and say, okay, here's the corridors that we know. So please keep human populations out of these corridors. And things will be fine. So that's an important study which we just started about 6 months ago.
And it's big because you need to take the larger countrywide view.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
we're trying to advise the ministry about the same sort of thing. So that we have people on the ground there that are trying to, you know, and also working with the local communities to find ways in which they can protect their crops without damaging the elephants.
So having a CEO from an American internet company go out and kill an elephant to protect the farms is not the way to do it.
That was disgusting. He should be ashamed of himself. think that's the head of, I forget the name of the company. Right?
GoDaddy.
It's
GoDaddy.
Yeah,
and everyone on this,
right.
Everyone who listens to this show is aware of our position on that, too.
I'm
it really
sure.
was the most incredible thing.
Yeah, the arrogance is astounding.
Well, let's move on to another major area that IFA has been involved in, and that involves commercial seal hunting and the use of seal products. By the way of history, can you give us a little bit of what IFA did early on to oppose the Canadian seal hunt?
Actually, IFA was founded by Brian Davies, who was very committed to ending this incredibly cruel and wasteful hunt that the seal pups of harp seals out on the ice packs, which is an astounding. And if you've ever gone out there, which I have done, had the pleasure of doing, you helicopter out to these large ice floes, and this is where it's an amazing breed because what happens is that the females, they all, no matter when they're fertilized, they drop their eggs at the same time. And what happens is that the whole species actually ends up on these ice pools, ice pods, and they all give birth at the same time. Within a 2-week period, all of the birthing is done. So it's full of these beautiful white seals, which you've probably seen.
Yes.
But 2 weeks later, out come the hunters with hackapicks, and they club them to death, which is disgusting and also useless. There's no need for these products. This is not sort of, you know, an end to AIDS or, you know, food for children in refugee camps. It's ridiculous. So we've been fighting it for years and years. And most recently, we had one of our better, I think, victories where we got the European Union to actually put a ban on the purchase and import of all sales, all seal items throughout the whole EU. That's a big blow to Canada, and they've really felt it. They have not stopped the hunt, but also for natural reasons, because of global warming, the ice floes are not what they were, so and it made it harder to go out on the ice floes to get them. So even though they have a quota of 300,000, imagine that, a quota of 300,000 seals to be killed, they only took about 20,000 last year. So there are factors working against this hunt, both natural factors and man factors, we being the man factor. And we're more hopeful than we have been in some time that the shutdown of the market. Now, what Canada has done is challenged the EU ruling at the World Trade Organization, and they want to get what they call a dispute panel to make a ruling on it, which is most people see as senseless. It's such a small issue that I'm sure the WTO would rather have nothing to do with this, but the fact is as a member nation, Canada does have the legal right to bring something to bear. So we'll see what happens there, because this is a case that really pits animal welfare versus commercial interests.
Very interesting. We're speaking with Fred O'Regan from IFA, International Fund for Animal Welfare. We're going to take a quick break as we continue our discussion about all the great work that they've been doing over the course of the year. This is Peter Spiegel. You're listening to Animals Today. Stick around.
Like an eagle to the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred. Or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once, literally. I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It's a scientific fact. Men can only hear certain frequencies during football season. So the jewelry store at Macy's is sending subliminal messages over these radio wavelengths.
There's the snap. It's a blitz. And Peter Contaldi of Basking Ridge, New Jersey, your girlfriend wants those 2-carat diamond stud earrings for Christmas, and time is running off the clock. Also, don't forget to clean the litter box. You made an agreement. And besides, it's not even her cat.
She's trying to tell you something. This holiday, get her what she really wants from the jewelry store at Macy's.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Peter Spiegel speaking with Fred O'Regan from IFA, and we were speaking about commercial seal hunting. And have you ever seen those incredible videos of the clubbing and shooting of those pup seals on the ice floes? Can you stand to look at that for more than just a few seconds without cringing? Well, it's still happening in Canada, supported by the Canadian government, and being fought by IFA and lots of individuals who are just horrified that this goes on. Fred, where, if not the European Union, where are these seal products going these days?
Well, we're tracking them. China is one. Russia is another place we know that does import them. In both of those cases, we have offices in both of those countries. So, you know, IFAS, we're a fairly significant organization. We have 15 regional and country offices, and we work in over 40 countries. So we can bring a bit of heft to these to these issues, which I think is critically important. So in this case, we're really trying to the filming that you're talking about actually largely comes from us. We have teams that track the hunt and even using helicopters, because it can even get violent if you get close to these guys. They're quite irritated about any kind of protest. So we sometimes have a camera that really captures it. And it's not only that the government of Canada allows it, they subsidize it. I mean, they're sending out their own icebreakers. There's really virtually limited trade. So it's a hunt that should have died out years ago. But it's a political thing that to get votes in eastern Canada, they kowtow to this hunt. And I think most of their foreign affairs people are embarrassed by it, frankly.
I mean, yeah.
Canada, they should simply be ashamed of themselves, absolutely ashamed of themselves. There's no need for this. There's no market. I mean, North Face, this is not 1870. You know, North Face is not looking for seal fur as insulation to go climb Mount Everest. And
right.
It's just disgusting. So anyway, I think that we're hopeful. But we're more hopeful than we've been in some time that this hunt, that they'll never say it's over, but I think we may see the end of it.
Right. Okay. So now moving on to your backyard, your organization
sure.
is based in Cape Cod, and it turns out that there are multiple beachings of whales and dolphins frequently in groups. They end up on the shore, and you are working hard to figure out why this is happening and to help the individual cases of strandings. What causes these, and what do we need to know about these strandings?
Well, if I can step back just for 1 second, I think this is
yeah.
a very good example of how IFAW works. We work with both hands-on to help animals directly, as well as trying to affect policy change, for example, to stop the Canadian seal hunt. So the two reinforce each other. In the case of, we're not clearly known. I mean, as you know, Cape Cod is kind of like this elbow that juts out into the Atlantic. And as such, it's one of the major stranding areas in the world for marine mammal, for cetaceans, especially small cetaceans. And there's what happens is about this between 200 and 300 strandings per year on the Cape. It's really something. We have a team of 5 people, real experts, and about 300 volunteers who will go out. There's a phone tree, and when when they get stranded, out they go with the right equipment, with veterinarian care, and try to get it. And it's very difficult, as you can imagine. You're out there in mudflats, 2 o'clock in the morning in February, trying to rescue these guys and get it back, and they're huge, of course. But when you really see them out of the water, you realize how big even these dolphins are. And the success rate used to be, from when it started, was only 15%. It's now 57%. That's a huge, huge change. And our team of 5 are not just rescuers. Most of them have masters, at least in marine biology. So they've been doing research, and one of the major things they've contributed is, like I mentioned in the last segment. It was commonly seen they used to euthanize individual animals if they hadn't had the whole pod, because they didn't think that they could get back into it. Well, we put the trailers on, you know, we put we followed them by satellite tracking, and we found out that wasn't true, that they ended up with pods, that they got adopted. So now, I mean, that's saving a lot of lives because of that research, and they're top quality. Why the stranding happens, we don't
right.
definitively know. Some people speculate that there might have been a gut. A lot of it happens around Wellfleet, which is right in the sort of crux of the elbow of Cape Cod's geology. And people might think that perhaps over thousands and thousands of years, that was the way they went. Now, but there's no definitive proof. We don't know exactly what happens, but we certainly know that they strand, and especially right around that area. But our stranding network actually covers 700 miles of coastline, so it's not just here, but anywhere they go. And we have great people doing this, you can imagine, incredibly dedicated, as are the volunteers, and it's a wonderful thing to see. So I'm very, very proud of that program.
So we're not sure the extent to which human-caused possible causes are in effect here, like the Navy sonar activities.
Yeah, I think this one you can't really blame on people, as far as I can see.
Okay.
So at least for once, it's not.
Yeah.
It seems to be a natural that they're not being induced to do it by any means. But you know, the ocean noise—you never know. I mean, there's certainly some evidence that the like beaked whales, for example, that there's problems with sonar. That they do get, especially sort of the sound navigating types of creatures. It definitely seems to be disturbed by that. And the ocean now is really full of noise that hadn't been before. So there's got to be effects. These are very sensitive animals. And when they're acoustically being disturbed like that all the time, we're not sure exactly what the ramifications of that are, but it can't be very good for them.
Fred, briefly, as we wrap it up here, I wanted to just touch on commercial whaling.
Sure.
If I'm correct, there are 3 countries that are still hunting commercially. Is that right?
Yeah, there are. That's Japan, Norway, and Iceland.
And what's the justification? How do they justify this continued activity?
Again, let's take Japan, for example. Again, they're not just allowed to do it. They're heavily subsidized by the government, millions of dollars. And this year, to send the hunt out, can you imagine this? They're taking money out of the fund to restore from the nuclear tragedy, and they're putting it in whaling. And
goodness.
You can't make this stuff up. And out they go with these ships, and it's for a market. This is how bad it is. Here's the statistic. The Japanese have 5,000 tons of frozen whale meat, 5,000 tons of it. There's no market. It's absurd what they're doing. It's cruel, horribly cruel, terribly unnecessary, and they should really be ashamed of themselves. But we're hopeful. Again, I think that they've been getting such a bloody nose in the world today. Hopefully we'll paint them a window. I mean, we're not going to gloat if they stop. We've tried to tell them that time and time again, but we're certainly not going to back off because this is a horrible example that they've set.
Is there anything that individuals and listeners can do specifically to help move this process along, to end commercial whaling?
Yeah, you can certainly get in touch with the closest embassy that the Japanese have or any offices or consulates that they have as well. And let it be known that you're simply opposed to this hunt. And the main thing, go to our website, which is ifaw.org, and there's plenty of activist activity you can sign off on. That's ifaw.org.
And let's conclude by letting people know that we have been speaking with Fred O'Regan. You are the president for International Fund for Animal Welfare. He just gave the website, ifaw.org. And you want people to go visit and check it out, correct?
Please do. Please do. Yep.
Fred O'Regan, thanks very much for joining us on Animals Today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Coming up, we're talking carnivores with Dr. Luke Hunter. Don't go away. I moved to where they'd hoped I'd be.
Did you know that there is a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble, real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible, especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back. I'd like to introduce Dr. Luke Hunter. He is the president of Panthera. That's the world's leading wildcat conservation organization. His new book is entitled Carnivores of the World. And I'll tell you, we've really been enjoying paging through it and looking at the fabulous drawings. And there is this growing feeling in our house that we just want to get out and venture out and see some of these animals live and photograph them. At Panthera, Luke oversees the direction and strategy of all of the organization's global wildcat conservation programs. He has five prior books and has contributed to over 100 scientific papers and popular articles. And this is his sixth book, Carnivores of the World. Welcome, Dr. Luke Hunter.
Hi, Peter. Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Oh, great. You know, let's just start basic for me and perhaps some of our audience. So what defines a carnivore? What's a carnivore?
Oh, that's a good question. So the book deals with, you know, carnivore, capital C, which are the members of the order Carnivora. So they're all related by evolution, by, you know, phylogeny, which are the interrelationships, the molecular and evolutionary relationships between the species and the families. And so that excludes animals which just eat meat, like you and I may eat meat, but we're not actually particularly closely related to cats or dogs, which are members of that order. So it covers all the species, which most of them do actually eat meat, but it's really the evolutionary relationships which ties them all together. So that includes, you know, wild cats, wild dogs, bears, the weasel family, the mongoose family. All of those animals are fairly closely interrelated.
Oh, that's very interesting. And in this book in particular, you're talking about the terrestrial ones.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So the order Carnivora actually also includes the seals and sea lions and walrus, the single species of walrus. So they're also fairly closely related, particularly to the branch of carnivores that includes the bears and the dogs and the weasel families. But I didn't cover those in this book only because, well, really for two reasons. One is there was so much to cover that, you know, we just ran out of space. We just didn't have the space to do absolutely everything. But the other thing is that the seals and sea lions and their relatives they're really well covered in a number of other field guides on marine mammals. So I just focused on all the terrestrial species.
Very good. So why did you write this book? What's the motivation for putting this together?
I guess just because there wasn't any sort of one-stop shop for
for all the information that you could have at your fingertips for all these species. So, you know, I'd never seen anything that covered all of the cats, all of the dogs, all of the weasel family or the genet family. You know, that's just not all available in one particular source. So, you know, I guess it's unusual for a field guide in that it actually has a global scope, you know, rather than, you know, like you can get fantastic books on just the mammals of North America or the birds of Southern Africa or, you know, and so on, which is the typical sort of approach with a field guide. But because there simply wasn't something that you could, you know, dip into and find out, you know, about any carnivorous mammal around the world, I thought there was a need for it. So that's why I put it together.
Yes, and like I said before, we really like having it around and just paging through it. Explain a little bit or describe how the book is organized when someone picks it up and starts looking at it. What do they encounter?
Right. Well, yeah, it's organized, you know, across fairly traditional lines. So there's a short introductory section which just gives you some of the basics, you know, on the various families of carnivores, how they're classified, how they're related to one another, those sorts of things, and some of the basic facts like how many species of cats there are in the cat family and how many species of bears and where they exist, those sorts of basics. And after that brief introduction, then you get into the real meat of the book, you know, which are the beautiful color plates. So every species of terrestrial carnivore is illustrated, in some cases more than once, you know, when there's a lot of variation in the species, and we try to illustrate a number of different forms. So those are beautiful illustrations by Priscilla Barrett, and that accompanies the text on each animal. So every species is also covered in you know, considerable detail, as much as we could squeeze in. And the book is organized by family. So first you come to the cat family and then go through the closest relatives of the cats, the genet family, the mongoose family, other fairly closely related ones, and then into the second branch of carnivores, which are the dog and bear families and all of their relatives. So you go through with fairly familiar animals as you work through the book that are closely related to one another.
And then the information contains the features such as their distribution and their habitat and their feeding and so on.
That's right, yeah. And so for every species, as much, you know, what I did, the sort of the real, I mean, apart from actually sitting down and writing it, which, you know, ended up really only taking me about, you know, sort of 25% of the time I spent working on the book, the bulk of the time was just compiling all the information available on so many species. And a lot of that is in, you know, very technical and scientific publications and PhD and master's theses and these sorts of things, which are, you know, not particularly widely available and not necessarily, you know, easy to read, something you'd want to pick up and, you know, just sitting around in front of the fire or out in the field somewhere. But so I went through thousands of papers and tried to pull out, you know, that salient information under each of those headings, their feeding ecology, their social behavior, their spatial organization, those sorts of things. And then as well, you know, conservation, because many of the carnivores are endangered or threatened. And so for every species, there is information on each of those categories. But in some cases, of course, there's very little known. You know, some of these species are very little known indeed. And so, you know, there's still great gaps in our knowledge where, you know, maybe in later editions I end up being able to expand that for some species.
Oh, yes, later editions. I've heard that. And
right.
It's a one, right? And just to mention Priscilla Barrett again, the wonderful and highly sought artist. She does another spectacular job in this field guide. Just a wonderful talent she is.
They're terrific, aren't they, the plates? I mean, you know, everyone who's said anything about the book, the first thing they say absolutely correctly is just how beautiful it is. And they're referring to these illustrations because Priscilla is, you know, she's technically very accurate. She's very good at getting really sort of the important biological detail into the picture that you know, for a field biologist or anyone using this book in the field, that's really important. But at the same time, I think she really captures the essence of the animal, and they just end up being really beautiful paintings. So, you know, not many artists actually do both at one time, and she's terrific at it. And so I couldn't be more thrilled with the artwork. I think it's just beautiful.
So who's the intended audience for this guide?
That's a good question. Look, I hope a lot of people get value out of it. You know, it contains a lot of technical and scientific information, but it's not written particularly scientifically. You know, it's written in a way that's supposed to be accessible and act as a reference for almost anyone that has an interest. So I see, I mean, hopefully, you know, a lot of people who have any interest in the carnivores, certainly people who are traveling to just about, you know, any region in the world where you see carnivores, this book could be of use because everyone's covered that you might potentially see. So, for example, you know, India and southern and East Africa and even North America, where there are some great sites for seeing carnivores. And then, of course, perhaps more professional users, rangers and guides, wildlife scientists, field biologists, and so on. I hope there's value for all of those folks.
Yes, I think it'll fit all of those uses. It's fairly compact. It does have just a fabulous amount of information. And for me, there were lots of surprises in it. For instance, I didn't really realize how many otter species there were, for instance, one of the many things I picked up reading, going through it.
Right. That's, you know, that's something that shines a light on, you know, a number of these little known species. And actually, Peter, a number of folks have said that, you know, I was talking to a good friend the other day who had just seen a copy, and he's a bear biologist and knows bears extremely well. But, you know, as he said to me, I have a new appreciation for genets. You know, he had no idea there were so many species of genets, which are small, beautiful, small relatives of cats that mostly occur in Africa. And so even to the professional, I think there's some surprises in there because, you know, apart from the very well-known species like the big cats and the grizzly bear and the polar bear and the gray wolf, which people know very well, there's a whole bunch of these other little species that are very poorly known. So I hope, you know, folks are sort of exposed to those and have a new appreciation for some of the little critters that actually don't get much publicity, really.
In the last minute or so, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your organization, Panthera.
Oh, absolutely. So we, as you said in the introduction, we focus on conserving the world's wild cats, and that's mainly, or really especially, the big cat species, because the big cats of, you know, all the cat family and indeed of many carnivores are fairly seriously imperiled, especially so in the case of tigers, but all of them are undergoing, you know, fairly significant declines or have fairly significant threats. So Panthera really focuses most of its energy and resources and information on trying to conserve the world's big cat species. And we try to do it across their range. So we look at the species as it occurs across its range and really look where the threats are most urgent and how we can get in there and actually try and address them.
Well, that's great. The book can be purchased everywhere. What's the Panthera website?
Panthera.org. And there's maps also for the field guide at the website.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Dr. Luke Hunter. The book is Carnivores of the World. Stick around.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere, by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? you can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try better than ever Proactiv solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Hey, welcome back to Animals Today. Hey, Peter.
Hi, Lori.
What's going on in the news these days?
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
How many animals in a home does it take to make the homeowner a hoarder?
Oh, that's a good question.
Like?
Oh.
A dozen or?
Yeah.
60?
No, I think it's not a matter of number. It's a matter of
but
care.
But if the number is high enough, like 445,
yeah,
there wouldn't be any question.
That's correct.
Okay, well, here is an instance of 445 birds, chickens, parrots, turkeys, quail, and some farm animals and cats and dogs in a home in Santa Barbara, seized the other day by Santa Barbara Animal Services and the Sheriff's Department when the woman was reported anonymously.
Yeah.
How does a household care for this number of animals?
Yeah, there's no way.
So in this spot, the situation is not described in detail what they found in there, but you know it's got to be just a horror story.
Yeah. Peter, we're just hearing more and more of these hoarding cases.
Yeah. All the time
we
hear about
them. Know if it's getting more frequent or if they're getting more exposure. Who knows?
So all these animals were brought to animal services. Imagine getting that delivered on your doorstep one morning.
Wow.
You've got all these animals. They need bird feed, by the way. No joke.
Oh, yeah, good.
So if you're in the area, bring some bird feed over to Santa Barbara Animal Services.
Were they all ill and sick and needing a medical attention?
I can only imagine. It must be. I don't know for sure.
Okay.
We'll give you an update if we can find it.
Right.
In India, important news from the University Grants Commission. They are going to request the phase out of the use of animals for learning purposes in schools.
Oh, good.
So
that's a big step.
It's a very big step because approximately 19 million animals are dissected in India each year for so-called educational purposes.
It's amazing they're ahead of us in that regard, isn't it?
It is amazing.
Wow.
This could be a countrywide thing.
Wow.
So the animals that are captured and killed for dissection include frogs, sharks, salamanders, birds, snakes, turtles, and fish, and others. These are captured, like I said, from their natural habitats, killed, and then used for dissecting for education in schools.
Yeah.
And very likely this practice is going to end in favor of using educational technology such as CD-ROMs, films, charts, and lifelike models.
Which is the way it should be. United States should be ahead of this already.
Right, right. So it's actually going to possibly help all these animals and maybe more because that's the number each year now, 19 million. That number has been increasing. So to each year.
19. Wow.
So to stop this will really save all those animals and preserve their ecosystems and maybe teach people in a more humane and probably effective way.
Yeah. I mean, you remember when you dissected your frog, right, when you were in elementary school?
Yes.
I mean, did you learn anything by it? Anything?
I learned I don't like the smell of formaldehyde.
That's right. That's all we remember.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, additionally, having the digital media and the reusable learning aids is valuable because, first of all, they can be reused year upon year. So you buy them once, and then they last for a while. And then it can create a whole new industry of people and programmers and artists and educators to create this material.
Yeah.
So it may even be a net job creator if that's what motivates you.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. In Ohio, remember the Zanesville massacre where all those animals were set loose and most of them killed?
Sure.
Well, new legislation is probably coming that is going to react to this. Previously and currently, Ohio does no monitoring or mapping of people who keep dangerous wild animals in their homes and no coordinated attempt to keep track of escapes or attacks.
Right.
It was just a wild west in Ohio.
Right. I heard it's like the state that with the least restrictions and regulations in terms of ownership of wild animals.
Well, not for long, because governor's office received more than 1,650 emails, more than 200 letters, and another 108,000 signatures from a signature drive from change.org. Urging stricter laws.
Right. And so, then I know not a lot of nonprofits, too, were really trying to get the governor to try to change the rules there. So I'm glad some good came out of it.
Well, it's coming. A task force delivered recommendations on November 30th calling for things like banning casual ownership of dangerous animals.
Good.
And developing rules on care and confinement until the ban takes effect. You see, once the ban takes effect in a few years from now, there are still going to be folks who have not been able to figure out where the animal should go. Now, some of these people are going to be grandfathered in, and they're going to be allowed to keep their wild animals, but under the new controls and new restrictions. Mm. But some of them are not going to be able to place them, and there really needs to be a coordinated effort. And this needs to be developed. Where are these animals going to go? Apparently, they're all over the state.
Yeah.
I mean, there are innumerable individuals, roadside zoos, private people who've got wild animals, snakes, big cats, bears, and foxes even. These people need to have a place where they can put the animals, and that has to get developed. So there's still a big task ahead.
About time.
It is about time. And some of the folks even who make their living off having these little displays, they're claiming that they're just going to take their animals and leave town and go to a place like Texas where they can do what they love to do. And that, it's just insane, some of these things. So,
it is.
Well, Texas will be next, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening in the news.
Good. Yeah. Good. Anything else? Or is that pretty much it?
That's the highlights for today.
That's good. Good. So you're listening to Animals Today, and listen, this show tackles the important issues concerning all animals and how they're treated by people and their place in our society. And, of course, we promote greater respect for and compassion towards all living creatures. And you're going to want to tell your friends about Animals Today. We air from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday. And you can listen live on the Internet during the show. We stream all over the world on the website, which is animalstodayradio.com. You could receive our weekly show newsletter, which gives the show information and important updates.